And then the front of it, it's got the old same old sinner's prayer in there. Pray this prayer out for me. Well, I took my scissors and I cut that out. I don't want people to think I believe it.
Yeah.
That won't save
me. Oh,
that's like, what's her name? That movie star lady that believes in that sinner's prayer.
Well, you got to understand, there's nothing wrong with praying. But in the context of that writing in there, it says that Jesus Christ died for our sins. Then it goes on just like the old Steve and all a bunch of them. They say, Jesus Christ died for your sins. Now, if you'll confess your sins, now hold it forth.
Yeah.
He died for what you've got to confess.
You know, it's like saying, Paul said, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness which is by faith of Jesus Christ. If you believe that and keep the law, well, that don't make no sense. That's contrary. I don't want people to pick my book up and think that I believe that you've got to confess your sins, because I believe my sins are paid for. Now, there's nothing wrong with being sorry for what you are and what you do. You understand? But you don't confess it and talk to the Lord about it to get forgiveness for it, because you know you're already forgiven. You're already forgiven.
Hey, Percy, I wanted to mention, Josie and I went to see Noah, and it's, I don't know who else might have saw it, but it's an evil depiction of God.
I've seen they showed a preview of it on TV yesterday. Yeah.
My oldest daughter said, go see the one said, God is not dead, where a man, a professor of philosophy, and him debated, said it's better, so we're going to check that out, but you know how movies go.
I don't watch Hollywood renditions of this book.
No.
I don't watch it. If it comes on TV, I don't watch it.
It's not worth it.
And I sure wouldn't pay to go see it.
No.
There's a movie out church that I've been hearing about for years. People asked me how I've seen it. It's called Left Behind or something.
Yeah, that's
I turned it on. I couldn't watch it because it didn't make sense to me.
Well, you know why it don't make no sense? Because they don't say what the book says.
Amen.
You see, if listen to me, if you're sitting in a class that teaches the gospel of Christ for them, which is power of God unto salvation, you hear the gospel of Christ and you reject it, you go into the tribulation, God's going to send you a strong delusion if you're left behind at the rapture. That's what it's supposed to be about. Mm-hmm. If you're left behind, then you'll believe the strong delusion and you'll be damned. Why? Because you receive not the love of the truth that you might be saved.
Amen.
And the love of the truth is that Jesus Christ died for us.
Amen.
I mean, we're spiritually baptized into his body. The body of the sins of our flesh were cut away at Calvary in Christ. Now listen, everything we have is in Christ. In the flesh, we just like we was when we were born.
Amen.
And there ain't nothing you can do about your flesh. You didn't choose where you're going to be born or who you're going to be born to or what church your mom and daddy was going to bring you up in. But once you hear the truth of the Word of God rightly divided, then you're responsible for that. And I think about when Paul was standing before the king, he said, much learning doeth make thee mad. Well, it will. The more you learn about the truth, the more you see what... How in the world did I ever miss seeing this?
Amen.
How come I didn't? There it is right there. All you got to do is believe it, you see. And that's what man's problem is. They just refuse to believe what God says because of the indoctrination that they've been indoctrinated with all their life in a religious church. Okay, my time, I'm getting in y'all's time now. Y'all turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I appreciate you being here this morning. Good to see each and every one of you. And I hope that what we do here that does help you understand the truth of the Word of God rightly divided, because that's our intent. Our intent's not to brainwash you not to make you stop going somewhere or stop doing this or anything. It's just to simply show you how to believe what the Bible says. And when I say the Bible, y'all know I do not back any translation other than the 1611 King James Bible, because every single one of them have lies in them, and God cannot lie.
Amen.
He will not lie, and he can't lie, because if God says something, it's got to happen. Mm-hmm. And it's going to happen.
Amen.
Now, if you will, join me in prayer, please. Father, we thank you for the time we have here this morning. We thank you, Lord, for loving us and sending your Son to die for us and pay for our sins. By putting our faith and trust in what he did at Calvary, we do have eternal life with thee. And Father, this is the message that you have for the world today, that God will save anybody that will trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And Father, we ask you this morning to especially be with those that are sick. We ask you to comfort these people and let them look to thee for guidance and understanding in the things they are faced with. And Father, we ask you this morning to give honor and glory to yourself in the class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 1, I want to talk to you about the Apostle Paul. And we've done some of these things before, but you just bear with me, because sometimes I need to refresh my memory. Now, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Now, you'll notice he did not say all Gentiles. He said for you Gentiles. He's specifying a special group of people. And the cause is back in chapter 2. Go back to chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. And I believe, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, if Paul had not put in this verse right here, having no hope, you would not be able to distinguish these Gentiles that he's talking to in Ephesians chapter 3. Because all Gentiles, listen to me, all Gentiles from Genesis all the way through had a hope. You know what their hope was? Bless the seed of Abraham. You bless the seed of Abraham and God would bless you. If you curse the seed of Abraham, God would curse you. And if you'll go back in your Bible, in the old so-called Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, and look at the nations that cursed the seed of Abraham, eventually God cursed them. Right down the line. Those that God blessed, the seed of Abraham, God blessed them, whether they were Gentiles or Jews or whatever they were. It didn't make any difference. If you bless the seed of Abraham, God, according to his promise in Genesis 12, verse 3, had to bless them.
Amen.
You understand? Now, when you get over here into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who was Jesus Christ sent to? The lost sheep of the house of Israel, right? So, he trained 12 men to carry on a ministry. After he was going to be crucified, the Old Testament prophet knew that Jesus Christ would come into the world, knew what his name would be, and knew when he would be born, who he would be sent to, knew how long his ministry would be. They knew that he would be crucified. They knew that he would be buried. He would be 3 days in the heart of the earth, down in hell down there. Well, he came back up, and they knew that he would ascend up, and they knew the time of all of this here, but in Romans to Philemon, they did not know about this position right here. It's called a mystery. Now, those who first trusted in Christ in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, they were in the covenants of promise back here. You can't miss it. Galatians explains it very clearly that they were in the covenants of promise. They claimed Abraham as their father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, over and over and over. But when you get to people such as us in Ephesians 1:13, that were not in the covenants of promise, we were not allied with Israel, we had no hope. Now, if Paul hadn't have put that words in there, having no hope, then they would have had a hope, wouldn't they?
Yes.
So the Holy Spirit led him to put in there something that he heard in Acts chapter 18 in the temple. In Acts chapter 9, when the Lord appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus, Paul was crucifying or having people crucified and causing them to blaspheme that believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So the Lord saved him. Acts 9, Paul is saved. I won't call no names, but there's a fellow comes on TV, well known grace preacher, said that Paul did not get saved in Acts 9.
He's a grace teacher.
What do y'all think about that?
He said he got saved.
Yes, he did.
Go to Acts 9. Go to Acts chapter 9.
Yes, it didn't say that, did.
Sorry?
It didn't say that.
That's
the only one I know of.
Yeah, I wasn't going to call his name, but Ben, y'all called his name. The name of Les Feldick got to count all home.
We also heard that Paul wrote Hebrews.
Yeah, I know it.
Okay.
You see, he goes back and says Paul got saved before Acts 9. He doesn't say that, but in his teaching, that's what it teaches, that Paul got saved before Acts 9. What is Paul doing in Acts chapter 7 and 8? He's
persecuting the church.
He is persecuting the church at Jerusalem.
Yes.
Acts chapter 9, verse 31, where you're at, the Bible says, then had the church at rest. What church?
Church of God.
The church of God. That God had purchased. That's those. Well, look at verse 31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria. Had Paul established any churches yet?
No.
No, he had not. So he didn't say church.
Churches.
What did he say?
Churches.
Churches. You've got to understand this is one church right here, which is his body. In other words, see, I believe terminology means what it means. You put an S on churches, you've got more than one church, ain't you?
Yeah, right.
But in Romans to Philemon, how many churches are there?
One.
Y'all do understand that, don't you?
Amen.
One church. But who was Paul persecuting? Those that were in churches. Back here. So Paul's a blasphemer until Acts chapter 9, and in Acts chapter 9, Paul is still a blasphemer. Go to Acts chapter 9, verse 1 now. And don't let the word Saul confuse you, because in Acts chapter 13, verse 9, Saul's name is also called Paul. Saul is a Jewish name, Paul is a Gentile name. So Paul was sent first to the Jews under the name of Saul. In Acts 13:9, he's called Paul. From then on, Paul's going in the synagogue. He ain't no prisoner. All through the book of Acts until you get to Acts 22, Paul is free to go anywhere in the world he wants to that the Holy Spirit will allow him to go to. He's not a prisoner. Now, he's become a prisoner several times. He's been beat. He's been shipwrecked. He's been in hunger and thirst and pain and all kind of things for preaching the gospel of Christ. But when he went to told them people in Acts 22 that he was going to Gentiles such as us that ain't in the covenants of promise, and he could not, listen to me, he could not by any means prove in the Old Testament scriptures that you were in prophecy. Got a question or a problem with that? Some of y'all looking frowning. Got a frown on your face here now.
It's unsearchable.
It is unsearchable. Was these people here that first trusted in Christ, was it searchable?
Yes. Yeah.
He said that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures. He didn't tell me and you that. He said Christ died for our sins according to the Gospel. What gospel? That when Christ died at Calvary, died for men's sins. But that was a mystery hid in God, Ephesians 3:9, until revealed to Paul in Acts 18. And Paul, when he got that message in Acts 18, the Holy Spirit gave him a messenger of Satan in the side to buffet him. And Paul prayed and said, Lord, remove this thing from me. And you know what the Lord told Paul? He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. But when Paul told them people that he was going to such as us, he became a prisoner from then on out. And in Acts chapter 28, and I don't care what they call me, Acts 28, was Paul still going to the Jew first?
Yes. Yeah.
He switched at that time, didn't he? He switched
it. When did Paul stop going to the Jew first?
After
come on now, I've done shown y'all this. Acts 12, 24, and 25. When Paul and Barnabas had fulfilled their ministry, well, what does the word fulfill mean? It means to complete. He completed going to the Jew first. And in Acts 13, 46, Paul said it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, the Jew. But he said, seeing you judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. That's not Gentiles such as us. He's still going to Gentiles in the covenants of promise. He wrote six epistles to them. The first six epistles Paul wrote, he wrote to those that were in the covenants of promise. But not so with us. Over here, he wrote seven epistles. And y'all know what 6 and 7 equals to, don't you?
13.
13. Paul in Acts chapter 9 is still a rebel. Look here. Acts 9 verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. Well, what's he doing? Is he still blaspheming against God and the Holy Spirit? Is it?
Yeah, that's chapter 9.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do y'all believe what Jesus Christ would say?
Absolutely.
Do y'all believe Jesus Christ would lie?
No.
Didn't Jesus Christ say in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, speak a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven you. But you speak against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven you, neither in this world nor the world to come. Was Paul a blasphemer?
Yes.
Said he was. Well, could he get forgiveness before Acts 9?
No.
Come on now, y'all in doubt about it? Could he get forgiveness under the gospel of the kingdom?
No.
He can't.
Yeah,
it's impossible. Well, before Acts chapter 9, the gospel of Christ has not been made known to nobody. Peter and them didn't know why Jesus Christ was crucified. They didn't even believe in the resurrection. Them women that went first to the tomb and saw he's gone, the angel of the Lord said, he ain't here, he's gone. Well, the Lord appeared unto him and said, touch me not, I've not yet ascended to my Father, but go over into Galilee and tell my apostles I'll meet them over there. And that evening, from that morning of resurrection morning till that evening, he'd gone back to God the Father and come back. And boy, that fascinates me. You know, some of these spaceships travel about 17,000 miles an hour. That's fast, ain't it? That opinion, you know, we used to, years ago when I was first learning how to drive, we didn't have, it's a good thing, but we didn't have these hot rod cars like you can buy now that'll do 100 and less than 10 feet or so.
Yeah.
But the old cars we had, we tried to soup them up and get them to go as fast as we could, and we tried to see who could pin somebody back to the seat where they couldn't raise up. Y'all didn't ever do that?
Yeah.
Now that 17,000 miles an hour, that'd pin you to the seat, wouldn't it? But you know what? Jesus Christ went faster than that to God the Father. He's above all heavens.
Amen.
And from that morning to that evening when he met those disciples there in Galilee, he'd already been to God the Father and back down here. That's spiritual realm.
Amen.
Us or a spiritual body. Us, and I say us, those that are saved. we are already seated at the right hand of God the Father before we were ever born.
Amen.
Based on God's foreknowledge, knowing who would trust the gospel of Christ. Did God know Paul would trust the Lord if he met him?
Amen.
And told him who he was? Well, when did the Lord meet Paul?
Before the foundation of the
world. Acts chapter 9, didn't he? Look at it. Look at Acts chapter 9, verse 2. And desired of him, in other words, he's gone to Damascus. He desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, you know what the way is?
Trusting that Jesus was the Son of God.
Look at chapter 8, man. It's very clear. Chapter 8.
Mm-hmm.
And Philip has been told to go to the join himself to this eunuch. The eunuch's reading out of Isaiah. And verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached in him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Go back to chapter 9, verse 2. And desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth, heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling, this is Saul, and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Well, I believe that's when Saul got saved.
Yes, absolutely.
Before that, Saul couldn't be saved.
Amen.
Why? He's a blasphemer. And a blasphemer can't be saved by the gospel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know, people say there's an unpardonable sin.
Yeah,
what is an unpardonable sin today? Is there any sin that you can do today that God won't forgive you of?
Not
and that He ain't already forgive you
of?
Unbelief.
Unbelief.
In chapter 5, he already knew who God was. He was Lord.
In chapter 5?
And he said, who art thou, Lord?
Oh, you in
Acts
5?
Acts 9 and 5. He already knew who the Lord was then.
I think that's when he first realized that it was.
He say in Acts 5?
No.
Oh, okay, yeah. What you see? You know what the Bible says? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, how can they call on him in whom they've not heard? Had Paul met the Lord before Acts 9?
No.
Had he?
No.
He hadn't met the Lord before Acts 9.
No, sir.
So how could he be saved before Acts 9?
He couldn't.
Was Paul out seeking to be saved in Acts chapter 7, 8, and 9?
No.
He wasn't looking for the Lord at an old-fashioned altar. He wasn't down on his knees begging for God to save him. He was persecuting people that believed that Jesus was the Messiah. So in Acts chapter 9, when he said, Lord, he recognized something that, you know what the word Lord means? Owner. It means master. It means owner. Did Paul know what Jesus Christ was teaching in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? I believe he did. Wasn't he persecuting people that believed it? That was the Messiah.
Yeah,
well, wouldn't he have heard what the Messiah was preaching?
Yeah.
You know what the Messiah was preaching? Go to Matthew chapter 4. Go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew Matthew chapter 4. Mm-hmm. I believe Saul of Tarsus was immune to this because Saul of Tarsus was persecuting these people. Mm-hmm. Verse 23, Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching what? The gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. Matthew 24, verse 14, Jesus Christ said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. End of what? End of the tribulation. Matthew 24, I don't care what the Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Jehovah's Witness, or whoever they are, says that this is the rapture, they are wrong. Matthew 24, Jesus Christ said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Hebrews through Revelation, beloved, is to tribulation saints. What are tribulation saints looking for? The second coming. I'm not looking for the second coming. I'm going to be gone before that time. I'm going to be gone before the 7-year tribulation. The rapture of the church is going to take place. God's going to get His children out of here. We are His adopted sons. You understand? Well, can we get into the body of Christ by the gospel of the kingdom?
No.
Well, could Paul be saved under the gospel of the kingdom according to what Jesus told him?
No,
he could. So he cannot have been saved before Acts 9. I don't care who they are that says he was. So when Saul met the Lord in Acts 9 verse 5, like Walter said, he knew who the Lord was.
Amen.
Well, he ought to know he was persecuting him. Do I know y'all? And I may not know all your names, but I know you. I'll remember your face. Mm-hmm. I can't even remember my own name. But I will remember your face. And if your name comes across my mind, I don't call you. You know what I do? I pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
I may not know what your need is. I don't have to know.
Amen.
You know why? Amen. Jesus Christ makes intercession for us according to the will of God.
Amen.
You see, God knows what His will is for you in your life, and His will in your life may not be the same as my will in my life. You understand for Him?
Mm-hmm.
It's different. We're different. But if somebody's name comes across my mind, I automatically pray for them. I don't have to go to a church, get down on no altar and kneel down. I can pray riding down the road. I've been neck deep in the water fishing and praying to God. You know, Paul said pray without ceasing. How are you going to do that?
Amen.
Anytime you want to.
Amen.
Can't you talk to the Lord?
Amen.
You see, I got two friends of mine, they're brothers, and they have a controversy and they won't even speak to one another. Two boldly grace preachers. And I've told both of them, my brother got killed when I was in the Marines. He had just got out of the Air Force. He spent 4 years in the Air Force. And while he was in the Air Force, I joined the Marines and we were separated from about 18 years old. And I saw him occasionally one time when he was on leave and I was on leave. I can see him right now while I'm looking at you. He's got a red birthmark right there. The last time I saw him, he was in a little building that my mom and dad used for a house while they were building a house in Montrose. Me and my wife, when we first got married, lived in that. It was supposed to have been a garage. The last time I saw my brother alive, he was standing in a little old bathroom there shaving. I went back to North Carolina. He went back to wherever he was stationed. I think it was in somewhere in New Jersey. Well, he got out, come home, went to work for a telephone company, working night shift. Went going home, a drunk on the wrong side of the road hit him head on. I told both of these brothers, I'd love to talk to my brother. I never knew my brother as an adult. And you know when, and this is normal, when you know brothers come up, and I imagine we got two brothers back here and can tell you about this. When we came up, we'd fight and argue and fuss and carry on and all that. But I'd like to talk to my brother right now, and I can't. Tell these two brothers, listen, you need to get this mess straightened out and get back in fellowship.
Amen.
I mean, come on. Time is short.
Amen.
If you're going to have any fellowship with the Lord, you better get on doing it now.
That's right.
And you can't have fellowship with the Lord in the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It won't work.
Amen.
Now, look what he says here in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases among the people. Did the Lord heal these people?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, now listen. If Jesus Christ is my apostle, couldn't he heal me today? Mm-hmm. How did Jesus heal these people?
To them.
Did he zap them? Knock them down on the ground?
Spoke to them?
I got a tape that I walk every morning and I listen to Bible study tapes. I got a tape, I was listening to it the other day, and Brother Moore was talking about some of these faith healers. He said, I know what the problem is. He said, they zap them so hard they can't stand up and they just fall. But you know what's so odd? About that, even if that ain't true or whatever, when they fall over, why do they have somebody there to catch them?
Every time.
Won't they just?
Yes, sir.
If the Lord can zap them, can't he make them land real soft?
Yeah.
World in a mess, blood. Go back to Acts 9. Go back to Acts 9. Now, you see, Paul is a prisoner for us Gentiles. Now, he is not a prisoner for these here that he's fixing to be sent to. In Acts chapter 9, let's go to verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said, Did they know who the Lord was?
Mm-hmm.
They sure did. Do you know the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever met the Lord? I'm talking about truly. Have you ever seen when Jesus Christ died at Calvary that you were hanging with him on Calvary?
Amen.
The Bible says, I am
crucified
with him. Didn't say I'm going to be. It says I am crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And you know what Paul goes on to say? He says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If all you've got to do is confess your sins, walk the aisle for Jesus, join the church, get baptized, and that's part of that thing I cut out of that book. Said you got to follow the Lord and believers' baptism. I want you to show me somewhere in Romans to Philemon where Paul told anybody that you've got to get baptized.
Amen.
Can you?
No.
Well, did Paul baptize some?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. That was those who first trusted in Christ. And you know what he told them? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14, he said, I thank God I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, and besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. He said, I baptized also the household of Stephanus. And I suspect that's probably the jailer, because him and his family got baptized. He said, I thank God I didn't baptize none. Does that sound like somebody that's sent to baptize, to follow the Lord and believers' baptism?
No.
You know why? In verse 17 he said, Christ sent me not to baptize. Look what happens in Acts 9. Verse 12. I apologize. Verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. Well, is Paul, or Saul here, is he praying? You read what he's praying for. You read what Saul's praying for here. Does Paul know what his ministry is going to be yet? Mm-hmm. No, he don't. Don't you expect Paul is praying? Well, I'll tell you what, dude. This is what I believe. I'll show you what I believe. Go to Ephesians. Hold Acts 9. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Now, Paul is writing to some people here, two groups of people, those who first trusted in Christ and whom you also trusted, and there's two different groups of people there. One is by promise of the Old Testament scriptures and one is by the gospel. Now, look what he does here. Verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and loved all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. What should our prayer be for a new convert? And I don't like to use that word convert, but a new saved person that has trusted Christ as their Savior. What should our prayer be? That they come unto the knowledge of the truth. You understand? You can get saved and never be established in Paul's gospel. You sit in a religious church, like I was talking about that Baptist, believes every word that Paul says about salvation. But then they add all this other stuff. If you've trusted Christ, now you need to repent of your sins. You need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And Paul never told us to do that. Paul is our apostle. Paul is our example. Jesus Christ is not our apostle, nor one of the 12. Paul, old Saul of Tarsus, a blasphemer, the first to be saved by grace through faith.
And they cover the works. They cover the works that Christ did with their righteousness that they're trying to
do. Do y'all know what? When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. In 1 Corinthians 13, it's perfect love.
Amen.
It's called charity, which is perfect love. You all know what the Bible says about love? Romans chapter 8, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. You want to fulfill the law in your life? Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, that's hard to do. I got some that, and I thank the Lord when I saw the moving van in front of their house. I've been praying for them. I'm not no better than they are, but they were a rowdy bunch of people. I had to call the law to them several times in the middle of the night to get them to shut that mess up and the noise. They'd be out in the street drunk, urinating all out in the front yard and all kinds of different things. Y'all know how they are.
Oh, my God.
Well, they wasn't good neighbors, and I didn't love them. I sure didn't. I went over there and had talks to them several times. I told them, I said, y'all keep this up and call the law to you. And I did several times. Well, the other day that we saw a moving van over there, I said, Lord, do answer prayer.
Amen.
So they're gone. I can sit on my front porch and count 9 empty houses right where I live. A lot of folks leaving me.
Those are good neighbors.
they don't like me. Oh, no, I'm not no better than they are, but I am saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
You understand? And I'm not sure if they'd have got saved if that would even help them or not. They're so indoctrinated in their lifestyle of drinking and partying and all that. And people get hung up in these things. That don't mean they ain't saved, you understand?
Amen.
You see, God judges the heart. He don't judge me in the flesh. If God judged me in the flesh, I wouldn't be here. I'd have done been gone.
Amen.
He judges my heart. What's on my heart? I know what's in my heart. I'm like Paul. I know whom I believe. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. There's a day coming when the rapture takes place that we're going to stand in judgment. for the things we've done in this body, whether good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to receive the good or the bad. Not for it, but what it is. And I can't explain that to you. I've done so much bad in my life, I just hope the Lord remembers what He said. He forgive me all of that.
Amen.
I hope He don't remember some of them things. Because I'm in trouble if He do. I don't know about you. Y'all, I know y'all good people. In Acts chapter 9 now. Oh, me. Verse 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Well, has Paul been an evil dude?
Yes.
He sure is. And here at Damascus, here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. Now hold it forward.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't the Bible say, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved?
Mm-hmm.
Did Paul call on the name of the Lord? He said, Lord, who art thou?
Yes.
As Walter
showed
you in Acts 9:5.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, who art thou? Have you ever asked the Lord, who are you? What would the Lord, if the Lord come through that wall right now and said, anybody got a question, what would you ask him?
Put some smelling salts on my nose.
If there's anybody left in here. If I saw an arm or a leg coming through them books right there, I don't know how long I'm staying. But if he did, he ain't, but what if he did, what would you ask him?
Who are you that you did?
You know what I'd ask him? Lord, when you going to get us out of this world?
Yeah.
You know, I'm like old Paul in Philippians chapter 1. He said, I'm in a strait between having desire to depart and to be with the Lord. But he said, it's more needful that I stay here for you. Why? Because all men have not faith. What is our job? Is to make all men see the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God. And when Paul made that known in Acts 22, Paul became a prisoner for these Gentiles over here that did not have a hope. Now, Israel is low am now, and if Paul had dropped the ball and had not preached the dispensation of the grace of God that we now live in, we would never have had a hope. But according to Ephesians chapter 3 verse 6, according to the gospel of Christ, there was a mystery in that gospel, that Christ also died for us, that we're not in the covenants of promise. I don't have to get you in the covenants of promise to show you that Jesus Christ loved you and died for you. All I got to do is just share the truth with you and show you what the Bible says. Tell you what, dude. Hold Acts 9 and go to Ephesians chapter 2 and Colossians chapter 2. Ephesians 2 and Colossians 2. You see, Paul wouldn't have preached this to those who first trusted in Christ because they were in the covenant of promise. They had all this stuff. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Were we dead in trespasses and sins?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Well, has God quickened us?
Yes.
Do you know when he quickened us?
Calvary.
Together with him. Verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Well, what is the course of the world headed to?
Hell.
The wrath of Almighty God, beloved, and going, they're like on a bobsled going downhill just as fast as that sucker will go.
Throwing grease out in front.
And it's greasy.
Yeah.
It's mighty greasy and it's slipping fast.
Sure is.
And I suspect every generation has told their people and children and all, the rapture has got to be close. And I don't remember who it was, but somebody said it's one day closer every day we get up.
Amen.
One day closer. Well, if Paul said the rapture is near in his day, well, it's got to be close in our day, ain't it?
Amen.
Got to be.
Amen.
Now,
Watch what he says here in verse 2. We're in the time past. He walked the course of this world according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Disobedient to what? To the word of God. Rightly divided. In other words, when Paul said rightly divide the word of truth, which is the gospel of our salvation, what do we rightly divide? We rightly divide Paul's gospel. Those who first trusted in Christ were in the covenants of promise. We who were not in the covenants of promise, Israel's low am now, and we ain't got no hope no more. Ain't no way to go to it. You can hang it up, but don't worry about what old Hagee says out there in the San Antonio. Hagee's got it wrong. Hagee's over here in the tribulation time over here when you bless the seed of Abraham again to get promises. Hmm. We're in here in the dispensation of the grace of God, and ain't none of this by our works. It's all because of, and if you'll study Ephesians chapter 1, it's all His purpose. Not ours. Not because we deserved it. He died for us while we were yet sinners. Go to Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2. Verse 10. And you are complete in Him. Well, are you complete in the Lord?
Amen.
Well, is there anything you need to do? You know, it's like building a house. They won't give you a what do they call that thing? A certificate of occupation until the house is complete. You understand? I know a man, my nephew, they wouldn't give him a certificate of occupation because his debt was higher than the standard and he didn't have a rail up. Had to put a rail up or build it up. And I don't remember. I think he built it up with dirt so it would meet the right height. But till the house is complete, you can't get a certificate of occupation. Now, you move in, but you don't have a certificate of occupation. It ain't been finalized. And I knew, I forget this fellow's name. I worked with him, but I forget his name. He built the house and never would finish it. He left one room without any molding because there's some kind of payment you have to make when you get that occupational certificate. Some kind of. Well, whatever. Y'all know the word. I wonder why my lady here just. Y'all know Paul said he wasn't, you know, Moses back here. He said, Lord, I can't speak. And then I said, I'm not an elegant man. Well, I fit the bill. You know, God calls sinful men. Y'all know God calls sinful men to preach.
Amen.
Was Paul an evildoer? Did the Lord call him to preach?
Yeah.
Are any of you in here called to preach?
Yeah.
Are you a sinful man, Ricky?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you are. Oh, have mercy. You better not never apply for pastorship in a religious church. They won't hire you. If Paul had applied for a Baptist ministry and he'd give them his credentials of how evil he was and sorry he still is and lives in a vile body, and he says, oh, wretched man that I am. If he'd have told them that, they'd know, get out of here, buddy. We don't want you. But how many men are not sinful? We all sinners, ain't we? Christ died for one. He died for who?
All.
Why? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody you see needs a Savior. You don't have to walk down the road and say, Lord, I wonder if that nail needs a Savior. Y'all automatically knows he does. And if he ain't got a testimony of salvation, what you going to do? Say, well, let's come over here and you need to repent of your sins and clean your life up and quit this smoking, quit this drinking and dancing. And I'm not recommending you do none of that stuff, but will that save you? No, it won't. Is it good not to smoke and drink and all that stuff? It sure is. It sure is. what a Savior, the gospel of Christ. Will the gospel of the kingdom save you?
No.
Well, why would people go to Acts chapter 2, and that's what Peter's preaching, the gospel of the kingdom. Why would they go to Acts chapter 2 or James on this side over here and pick up salvation? Like James says over here, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Can you show somebody's your faith by your works in him?
No.
Not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly. You know what the renewing of the Holy Ghost is, Ed? It's the renewing of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ when he was resurrected. On the cross, he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. John chapter 19. I mean, he just bowed his head and died. And them Roman soldiers said, truly, this was the Son of God. They've seen people crucified, beat, bones broke to make them die in a hurry, to get them down before sunset, get them buried, and they just come to Jesus and he just gave it. Can you do that? You know, I think about these Indian pictures. They show this old Indian old wore out and his old skin's all wrinkled up, and he goes out on the mountain somewhere and he sits down and starts chanting and all that. He's going out there to just lay it, sit there and die. Well, he might be there a month or so.
Starving.
you can't just up and die. Now, you can kill yourself, but you can't just up and die. Say, Lord, I think I'll die tonight. I think I'm ready. I'm like Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. We are competent and willing rather to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. Do you know that if you died tonight, you'd be with the Lord?
Amen.
There ain't but one qualification.
Amen.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, Paul said, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know you're not your own self except you be reprobates. Well, what did you examine yourself by? Well, Lord, I built a boat.
No.
You told me through Noah back then I need to build me a boat. I built a boat one time. Bad mistake. I built an old flat bottom buttonhole boat one time. Me and my buddy was down there in Dog River testing it. I had an 18 horse Evinrude on the back of it. I didn't know nothing about building no boat, but I built that sucker. It floated too, it didn't leak. We got out there and there was a boat come by us and had a pretty good weight, and I forgot to slow down. That boat, that blunt nose thing hit that wave, and I went to the seat where he was, and he went forward. That boat, and I'm doing this. We like to got slung out. I turned that thing around, and we got back, and I had to redesign the bottom of it. So I think I had to put a skeg on it because you couldn't turn. It was a flat bottom. When you tried to turn it, just slide. I had to put a couple little skegs, whatever they call them, on that thing to make it bite. But what do you got to do to be saved? Nothing. Paul told the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Beloved, back here was household salvation. The women from all the way through were partakers of their husband's deeds. Boy, ain't you glad you live in grace today, women?
Yeah.
Ain't you?
Yeah.
You know what? Y'all remember the story of Achan?
Yeah.
Back young, God said, now listen here, I'm going to give you this city over here, but said, everything in the city is a curse. He said, don't take none of it. He said, because you'll be a curse like it. Achan took some of the stuff. You know what they did when they brought the tribes and separated them? The prophet said, they can give God the glory today and confess what you've done. He said that he did. You know what they did? They took him, his wife, his children, his home, his cattle, everything he had, and destroyed it.
Yeah.
Stoned them to death and burned them. You want to be like that?
Yeah.
You know what? I thank God I live in the dispensation of the grace of God. I ain't got to do nothing but trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I have, and I hope you have. And after that, it's whatever you do for the Lord, you're going to answer for it. And don't make no mistake about it. God purchased you, and you belong to Him.
Amen.
So whatever you do, today or tomorrow, you're going to have to give an answer for it. So why not do it right?
Amen.
Why go back here and try to claim something in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or early Acts that God won't bless nohow? It's like God said back here, when you cut off and I forget what he said, a lamb's neck is like if you kill the dog. He said, I will not accept your sacrifice. God will not accept your sacrifice except it be of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, Jesus Christ was a satisfied sacrifice for us.
Amen.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. My time's up this morning. Appreciate you being here.